What is up, everybody? It is finally here. We never thought we'd get here. UFC 300. We're coming at you with previews for the prelims and the main card. What a week it is. Never thought we'd get here. I'm a little under the weather, but you know what? It's 300 week. We're going to crack a cold one. Cheers to 300 week.
Shit. Dude, I actually thought I had some beer in the fridge and I had none. So I was a little devastated, but it's all good. I'll be a little more, my memory will be a little bit better. This week is going by so slow. It feels like it should be a Thursday already, but it's only Tuesday, man. All I can think about is this card. We've literally been predicting this card, talking about who is going to be on it for what, like over 6 months? I was thinking about it. We've probably had UFC 300 in our descriptions and thumbnails for at least half of a year at this point. And we are 4 days away, man, from, I think it's going to be the greatest card of all time.
I got to tell you, looking at the screen here, for those that are watching on their phones, this card right here, you can sell me, if Yuri and Rockets was a title fight, you could sell me on it being a really good pay-per-view card. Just these prelims.
This is better than any card Canada's ever seen combined.
1,000%. This is a legit main card if Yuri and Rockets are fighting for a belt. That's all it's missing is a title fight.
That's facts. I hadn't even looked at it that way, but that is literally up. If that was a main
card. Aljo Cater. Because let's just sell it as let's just okay. I'm selling it as a main card here. This is the main card. Let's say Yuri and Rockets is a title fight. Light heavyweight title. Yuri versus Rockets, obviously, no, nothing needs to be said. Title fight. You got Aljo fighting Calvin Kattar in featherweight. You got Kayla Harrison making her UFC debut versus a legend in the sport, Holly Holm. You got the up-and-coming star, Diego versus Sadiq Youssef, who doesn't want to give up his spot. You got the young Jalen Turner, the always entertaining Manny Moicano. Andrade Marina. Could be a title eliminator. You got Jim Miller's retirement fight. Bobby Green, nothing needs to be said. And kicking off the night is Cody No Love and Figgy, two legends of the sport. Yeah, I can sell you on every one of those fights. Every one of those fights.
Bro, how many champs do we have on this? On the prelims right here, we got Yuri. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six champs, not counting Kayla Harrison, who's probably a top 10 female martial artist of all time.
Insane. Insane.
Man, thank you, Dana White. I feel like the very, very, very casual people might complain because there's not like a Connor or an Izzy or someone like that. But to anyone who even follows the sport somewhat remotely close, this is the greatest card of all time.
Yeah, not even close. I don't even think like, obviously, the odds of every fight being living up to the hype isn't good. But, I mean, there's no way that these names don't. I mean, you look at these fights like Garbrandt and Figgy, two entertaining styles. Miller versus Bobby Green, they're just going to fucking throw blows. You look at Turner Moyakano, they don't have boring fights. Lopes, not a boring fight. Kayla, whether her fight's boring or not, it's just entertaining to watch her in the UFC. Then you have Aljo and Cater. And then just Yuri and Rocket. I mean, fuck, dude. What a fucking card. What a card.
And the fact that the UFC was still able to have 298 and 299 be elite is pretty nuts. At least 299 was elite. 298, I'll say very good. But 299 was a top-tier card. This is just an unheard-of Hall of Fame card. We might start to see a little drop-off on 301 and 302, but it's more than worth it because we're going to get some news in the summer as well.
Yeah, man. Let's get right into the card. We got Cody No Love Garbrandt versus Figgy, our first fight of the night. I'm not going to lie to you. I know when deep dive into this fight, research this fight, the four-year age difference is insane.
Yeah, because Cody was the champ almost 4 years before Figgy got his belt.
Yeah.
Bro, Cody really looked like he was going to be one of the GOATs when he beat Dominic Cruz in 2016. He was so young, bro. He was 24 when he did that. And then, that was almost the peak. It probably was the peak, which sucks.
Because it's crazy. I don't think anyone's had a greater fall off. And he's still only 14-5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe like an Anderson Silva, but his wasn't as brutal, bro. Cody's was just, I don't know, Anderson's was pretty brutal too, but man, Cody's was just one after the other. The one when he moved down to flyweight and got KO'd by Kai Kara, that really kind of put a nail in the coffin, I feel like.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but fuck. I mean, he's entertaining, dude. He's coming off a win, no?
Yep, coming off back-to-back. Great wins. He beat Brian Kelleher, which is okay. And then he beat what's the guy's name? I thought I wrote it down, but I didn't. It's escaping me. He was not very good though. Jamal Emmers, maybe? No.
No, it was Trevin Jones.
Trevin Jones. Yeah, I was gonna say Trayshawn Gore, but I knew he's bigger.
Yeah.
So okay wins for Cody. But Figgy, he had a very impressive win in his bantamweight debut against Rob Font. I kind of look at that. Yep, that's exactly what I looked at only 2 years ago. It does seem like Cody is in a better spot than he was, or I guess that was 3 years ago at this point. But yeah, I kind of agree with Vegas on this one. I think Figgy gets the job done.
How do you see him getting it done?
Either second or third round KO or decision. I think Cody will look. I think he'll look pretty good throughout the whole fight, but I just think Figgy's chin is going to hold up better than Cody's. I'm not a strong believer in Cody's chin, unfortunately. I hate to say it, but
yeah, definitely. I don't know if I'd love to see if Figgy has the power to knock him out, but I'm on the same way that you are. I have Figgy by decision here.
Yeah, Figgy was able to not piece up Font, but definitively beat Font, where Font made Cody look steps below him. There's no reason not to go with Figgy here. I do like the over, though, in this fight. I cheated, so it might be on your bets, might not be. I don't know. I don't want to spoil anything, but over 1.5 rounds here, I like that play a lot.
Yes, sir. Let's get to our next one.
Let's see. Yep, right to it.
Boom. If Bruce Buffer can't say it, I'll say it. Jim fucking Miller. 40-year-old fighting on 300, fought on 200 and 100 versus Bobby Green.
Bro, UFC 100 was so long ago. I want to say 2008, maybe. I can get that exact number for you, but yeah, Jim Miller really fought his way onto the card too, because to the hardcore fans, everybody knows Jim Miller, legend of the sport, holds a lot of records, most fights, most wins, second most finishes, fourth most bonuses. But to the common fan, to a casual fan, you probably don't know Jim Miller. I don't think he was on the UFC's radar for UFC 300, but he went on the mic. He said, I won at UFC 100. I won at UFC 200. And I'm still here beating people in the hardest division in the sport. I'm getting on UFC 300. Then he booked a fight for early January. Won that one. Looked really good. So this dude straight fought his way onto the card. That fired me up. Bobby Green, though. Yeah.
What a perfect matchup.
Literally. Does Bobby's last fight scare you at all? He, for anyone that doesn't remember, his last fight was against Jalen Turner, where Turner knocked him out. And then we saw one of the worst late stoppages in recent memory in the last 5 or 10 years, I would say, where the ref just did not stop the fight. And Turner was just beating Bobby Green's lifeless body over and over and over. And it wasn't super, super long ago either. Does that carry over for you?
With all due respect, if he wasn't fighting Jim Miller, yes, but I think this is a good match for him. I think obviously Jim Miller is obviously a step slower than most. I don't know if I – that line, I don't know, a little steep for me. But no, not in this matchup, no. It doesn't scare me.
Yeah, so on paper here, I feel like Bobby Green, I definitely lean towards him. He's just an elite boxer, and he's hard to take down, too. He has pretty good takedown defense. He's fast, he's athletic, he's squirmy. And he's not a slouch on the ground. I mean, he submitted Tony Ferguson not that long ago. But what I see happening, I see this fight. I don't know. I just kind of had a vision. I was at work, just, you know, not really caring about work, thinking about UFC 300. And I had a little vision that this is going to go like the Bobby Green Drew Dober fight from about a year or two ago, where Bobby Green looks like one of the best fighters of all time for the first few minutes. Dober couldn't touch him. He was just getting in and out, touching him up. Then he got a little comfortable, got clipped once or twice, and it changed the whole fight. I don't know if Jim Miller, he definitely doesn't have a Drew Dober chin. I don't know if his chin's going to be good enough to hold up the onslaught. But I kind of see that happening. I see Green piecing him up in the beginning, defending takedowns. But then I kind of see Miller landing a counterpunch, changing the fight, maybe getting to his back, maybe just landing some hard shots. But I have a weird feeling that the live odds are going to be about Bobby Green minus 600, and then Jim Miller's going to win. So expect me to place a live bet on Jim Miller if the fight starts out going really good for Bobby. I don't know. Sometimes you get those feelings. Did you have a bet on this fight besides the money line?
I also like the under. Let me check my bets here.
Stem lag.
Yeah, I think I went Bobby Green money line here. I know I like the line, but I think earlier I must have been something I liked about it. So I just don't think I can see Jim Miller beating Bobby Green. Bobby Green has too much, even though he has kind of a bad loss, he has too much good wind in recent memory to go against that. So I'm going to go Bobby Green money line here.
Dude, before Bobby's loss to Turner, he was making a rise towards the top of lightweight again. He had that fight booked versus Dan Hooker, but then Hooker had to drop out. Jalen Turner steps in short notice and just destroys the hype train. But before that, Bobby had submitted Tony Ferguson, and then he knocked out Grant Dawson when he was like a plus 500 underdog. So, yeah, Bobby might still be here. I'm excited to see how that one goes. And did Jim Miller, did he announce that this is definitely his last fight, or is everyone just kind of assuming because it is the perfect send-off?
Yeah, they're probably just assuming. You never know. Guy like that gets a win, thinks he's back. Could win again, saying it.
Dude, and Jim Miller, never been a pay-per-view headliner, never fought for a title, but he's made over $1 million in his UFC career. Just from showing up, getting a lot of fights.
Good for him. True professional.
I heard this one story at UFC 208 before we go on to the next, where I forget who Jim Miller was fighting, but his opponent missed weight by a lot. I think he weighed in at about 162. And the commission had a rule where you couldn't fight if you were 5 pounds like separated from each other. So Jim Miller purposely missed weight by like just the least amount he could. So he weighed in at like 157.2. So he was exactly 5 pounds lighter so they could still fight.
Oh, wow.
Some gangster shit right there, dude. So just a testimony. Jim Miller, been doing it forever. If you're a fighter, you should try and find some Jim Miller interviews, learn some of his secrets, and see how he was able to extend his career this long. And it's not like he was fighting once a year either. He fights a lot. He fights a lot more than guys in their prime, which is annoying.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. This is, if there was a fight to grab popcorn, grab a snack, take a shit during, it's probably this one. But I don't even think this is one of those fights.
Yeah. Jessica Andrade. Go ahead.
Marina Rodriguez. They're both coming off of wins. Neither of them are really have a huge head of steam behind them right now. I kind of like Marina here. She's a slight underdog, and I'll give you my reasoning. It's pretty simple. Marina beat Jianan Yan, the girl fighting Wang Zeli on the co-main, back in 2022 via split decision. Pretty much just outstruck her. And Andrade got knocked out pretty bad versus that same lady. So just going off of that, I kind of like Marina. Andrade is 4 years younger, so the chin, the speed might be on her side. But I don't know. I've had a lot of luck in my betting career fading Andrade besides her last fight. So I'm going to keep doing it.
All right. I think I went, yeah, I didn't like the line, any line for me. But I think I did go under because I think their last, Marina's last win is by knockout. She has a lot, and then she has a loss by knockout.
Mm-hmm.
And then Andrade's last win's knockout, and her last three losses after that are subs and knockouts. And this beer's getting to me. Are subs and knockouts. So I'm going to go either one that wins here, hoping for a finish.
I like that a lot. We should do an over-under round parlay. Like, just round bets. Hit a parlay on there. Throw it up on the IG.
Yeah, yeah, I'll cook that up for you tomorrow.
Come on, chef.
Yes, sir.
Let's see. Next fight. This one I'm a lot more excited for. Jalen the Tarantula Turner taking on Renato Money Moicano. Jalen Turner, just a freak at that lightweight division. 6'3". 28 years old, just entering his prime. Moicano may be on the back end of his prime, but he's just hitting his stride in terms of building a name for himself. He's on that podcast with Gilbert Burns, so I guess he's technically our rival now. So good thing I'm picking Jalen Turner in this one. Who do you like?
Yeah, I like Turner too. I don't see a way that Moicano wins. But again, just to highlight this card, it's like you got a guy that's 240 and you got a guy that's plus 200. And it's still just entertaining because of the names and the aura that these guys have. I mean, look at Jim Miller, Bobby Green, Jim Miller storyline for that reason. Bobby Green storyline for because he's Bobby Green. The Figgy Garbrandt matchup. Yeah, one guy's minus 300, but it's Figgy and Cody Garbrandt. It's just, I'm just more so just amazed by this card. And even with the lopsided lines, that there's still just an entertainment value in these fights.
Completely agree with you. It's crazy how Jalen Turner's 14-7, but he's such a good fighter. Usually when a guy's 14-7 in MMA or in the UFC, it's kind of like, eh, that's not a great record. 7 losses and only, 14 wins, so it's not like he has that many fights. But when you watch the film on Jalen Turner, it does not lie. This guy is a problem. In his fight with Gamrot, he did get bullied on the ground a little bit, which kind of concerns me because that's where Moicano makes his money. So if he was able to get it down there, I think he could kind of have his way with Turner, but I don't see it happening. I think Turner's just too sparky, too rangy on the feet. I see Moicano leaving this one with a lot of bruises and cuts on his face.
You got a finish here?
No, actually, yeah. I like Turner by KO. Moicano's been KO'd 3 times, I think, so it's not like he has an iron chin. His chin's not bad or anything like that.
Yeah.
But I like Turner inside the distance. Probably won't sub him because Moicano's very good on the ground.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Let me see if I wrote one down. Oh, yeah, but I did actually have over 1.5 rounds for this fight, too, because I do think there's going to be a little feeling out process. I think in the first round, Moicano is going to be trying to establish that ground game. Turner is going to be trying to get the range established. So I have over 1.5 rounds, but I do think Turner gets it done in the later rounds. Hopefully after 1.5 rounds.
I'm with it. Our next fight, we got Diego Lopes versus Sadiq Youssef. I think this fight might have the most at stake in about a year or two.
I think
if Diego Lopes goes out and gets a big win and vice versa for Sadiq, I think that both guys are, they win an entertaining way. They're good on the mic after they put themselves in a big time fight.
Dude, and their ages as well in that featherweight division. You heard Ilya saying it. He wants some fresh blood up there. I completely agree with you. Dude, this one is so exciting. This is going to tell us if Diego Lopes is just a really good fighter or if he's a championship material type guy.
Yeah.
He has a lot of fights for only being 29 years old, 29 professional fights, so he's experienced in there. It's kind of weird. He comes out of the Mexican MMA circuit, even though he's Brazilian. I think he moved to Mexico with his coach when he was about 18 or 19 and kind of came up through the ranks there. He kind of has a Charles Oliveira type bag off his back. He's insanely lethal. He really bursted onto the scene in that Ivolev fight when he took it short notice and almost won the thing. What do you got for us here?
Yeah, it's a tough fight from here. Like you said, I could definitely see like Diego Lopes just going out and dominating and being the next guy up, calling his shot. But then I can also see, like, we've seen it before where these guys are trending up, and then just we get one of those guys like Sadiq, so just like, nah, you're not. There's levels.
Mm-hmm.
It's always tough to pick because you always want to just go with the guy that's trending up. You never know until you see it, and then we're going to come back here on Monday and be like, damn, there's levels. There were so many reasons why we should have picked Sadiq, but
yeah,
I don't know. I was torn. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to enjoy this one, man. I don't know. If my life depended on it, I'd probably go Sadiq, honestly.
Okay. I'm conflicted on this one, dude. I was watching Lopes' film right before we got on here, and I couldn't find out a lot from it because he kind of gets rocked, leaves himself open, but then he has moments where he just gets guys out of there. He has that switch he flips where he sees an opening, he smells blood, and he goes for it. So Deke's only losses in his career, at least in the UFC, are to Edson Barboza and Arnold Allen. So those are two of the best strikers in featherweight. Lopes definitely isn't on that level on the feet. Lopes never really shoots for takedowns either. He pulls guard, kind of does stuff off of his back. If he gets taken down, kind of lets people take him down. I don't think Usyk's going to go for the takedown here. And if the fight stays on the feet, it's kind of hard to go against Sadiq. So I 100%, I see where you're coming from. And he was piecing Barboza up in his last fight. I thought he was going to kill him. And then I think he just gassed out a little. Edson used his experience to take over. But this isn't a five-rounder either. It's a three-rounder.
Yeah.
So, shit, man. I was going to come on here and say Lopes, but I kind of just want to sit back and enjoy it as well. I'll go with Lopes just because I think I might have picked him to be the champ in a year from now when we did that a couple months ago. I just went way out there on one. So I'll ride with that. Let's go, Diego.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I don't know if this one's going to happen, dude. I'll believe it.
Well, I was going to ask you that, bro. Like, what makes you think that?
I will believe it when I see it on Friday morning.
Can I tell you what I want?
Yeah.
I want Kayla Harrison to win this fight in dominant fashion. I want Kayla to be Raquel Pennington in dominant fashion and be the bantamweight champion. And then I want Kayla Harrison and Amanda Nunes for the 145 belt.
Shit. But then what happens after that? You just scrap the division again?
Yeah, I just want to see them fight.
I'd be down. Let them just like not cut weight and fight at 145.
Yeah. Because like you said, bro, you don't think she's making the weight.
I don't see how she does. She fought at 155 for most of her career. She's made 145 a couple of times. Her last fight, I think, was a catchweight at 150. That was her saying, all right, I can cut. I can go lighter. Even during the embedded, I saw her. I got eyes on her through my TV, and she did not look like she can make 135 pounds. I think I have a higher chance right now of making 135 than she does.
Why? Okay, but this is what I don't understand, though. Why not just give her a catchweight fight?
Yeah, I mean, Dana just doesn't mess with that. He's like, why are you here if you're just a catchweight, if you're not contending in a weight class? I mean, she must. It's like she had to think this out. It's not like she's just going to show up knowing she can't make the weight and then not make the weight. So that makes me think that she's got it dialed in. She is at American Top Team, so she has the resources. She's not in a rude way, but she's just a big body.
I mean that's the interesting storyline of this fight. There's so many storylines in this fight. Then you get to the fight and you're just anything can happen. A weight cut. I mean, again, like you said, we got to see how the weight cut goes. We got to see what she weighs. I wouldn't be opposed. Depending how your bankroll is at the time of this fight, you might throw a little something on Holly.
Mm-hmm. Because the weight cut might mess her up too if she does make the weight, or even if she cuts down to 140 or something like that. I agree with you. Hey, you remember what happened the last time Holly fought a judo player on a big stage when she was a big underdog?
Yeah, this is a really exciting fight. I can't wait for this one. I can't wait to see what happens on Friday for this fight. So we locked in on that. So pay attention to that. If you want to bet that one, I'd pay attention to how Kayla looks on the scale. But definitely you could see there could be some action here in this one on Holly's side, depending on how Kayla looks on the scale.
Yeah, if I could bet on the weigh-ins, I would bet on her not to make it. I would be curious to see what Vegas would have those lines at for Kayla Harrison making weight. I just don't get why you would go through this. And the UFC.
But this is what I'm saying, though. I don't think, the UFC isn't stupid. Dana's not stupid. Kayla's not stupid. You don't put her on this memorable of a card if they don't think she's going to do it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, they're all too smart to not see this coming. Like, they had to have addressed it, and they have to know that she's most likely going to make the weight, but I'll just believe it when I see it.
Yeah, definitely going to be interesting. Definitely going to be interesting. Can't wait for that one. Can't wait for that one on Friday. We'll get a lot of news on that one on Friday, so definitely be tuned to that.
Yep. Then we got a return fight here for Calvin Kattar. Injured his knee. I think it was a torn ACL about a year and a half ago versus Arnold Allen. And this is a tough fight to come back on with a hurt knee, because he's going to have to do some grappling here against Aljamain Sterling, the former bantamweight GOAT, moving up to featherweight, coming off his KO loss versus Sugar Sean. How do you see this one going?
I don't see Kattar being able to do anything with Aljo on the ground. I think we see a vintage Aljo performance, just backpacks him, kind of ground and pound, fights his way into a decision victory.
I was thinking that, but Calvin Kattar has a 91% takedown defense. I had to go on UFC.com, check out some of the stats. I went back and watched film on all of the takedowns to see how good they really were. And it's not like Aljo really even has to take you down. Half the time he just jumps on your back when you're still standing. I'm just curious to see if Aljo can do what he did to those 135ers up at featherweight, because Kattar's a big guy. Aljo might be the smaller fighter for the first time maybe in his career in there. So that's going to be interesting to me. And did Aljo's bubble burst after getting knocked out? He had been on a heater before that. And you know how the mental invincibility in this sport, it goes really fast.
You got to think he has a new sense of urgency. Coming to a new weight. Doesn't have to cut as much weight. He's got to be locked. I mean, you would imagine he's locked in. I don't know.
Yeah. And Aljo, 34 years old. What's his path if he was to win this fight?
I think just be who Aljo was and the reason he's had so much success in his career. Hold his ground on the feet, hunt his takedowns, get on the back.
And I guess I phrased it terribly. I meant like after he wins the fight, what's his path at featherweight to the title? Once I said that, I was like, yeah, that made no sense. Do you think he's like two fights away, one fight?
No, it's hard. It's hard. Obviously, that we have guys in the featherweight division. I mean, he beats Calvin Kattar. Calvin Kattar is number 8. Looking at this right now, you probably put Aljo ahead of Josh Emmett. You probably wouldn't put him ahead of Allen or Ivalov or Yair. I mean, so he'd probably have to go a Ivalov matchup, or I don't know. It's an interesting matchup up there. That featherweight division gets really when you get to 5, 6, 7, 8. So it'll be interesting to see what happens from there.
Dude, Aljo versus Ortega would be some of the sickest grappling exchanges we've ever seen in the octagon. I think that might be one to book if Aljo does win this.
Yeah, definitely. But I'm all over Aljo here on this. I think he just finds a way to get on his back for 3 rounds, gets a win.
I can't lie. I've been really good on betting Calvin Kattar. I faded him when he was fighting Max. I bet on him when he was fighting Giga. I think I faded him against Arnold Allen, which wasn't, you know, a true win. He got hurt. But I'm going to bet on Kattar here. I don't know. Ever since Aljo and Sugar had their rivalry, I just can't bet on Aljo.
I know. That's what I was – earlier when I was doing the bet, I was like, I can't bet on Aljo. But I was like,
He's just kind of on the other side. And especially because his teammate's fighting Sugar now. Maybe once that's all said and done and Sugar's knocked them both out, then I could be cool with them again. Because I like Sarah Longo. I like the rest of the guys that fight there. Something about Aljo and Marab. They talk so much shit to our guy. I just can't go on the air and support him.
Yeah.
How about this next fight? Another return fight. Alexander Rokic. 2-year layoff. He last fought in the summer of 2022, I believe. He tore his ACL or tore something in his knee against Jan Blachowicz. He was right there for a title before that injury. He's taking on Jiří Procházka. Everyone knows what happened in Jiří's last fight. He ate a left hook from Poatan. Didn't really eat it, I guess. Dropped to the ground, got knocked out. Does this feel like a quick turnaround for you?
This line is tricky, man. Everything in my gut wants to say Jiří. And spoiler alert, I do go Jiří. Just for the simple fact, I mean, obviously, yes, quick turnaround to getting knocked out. We know how that happens. But you look until then, I mean, the run this dude was on was insane.
Great again, wins in that division.
Crazy for me to tell you this is only going to be his fifth fight in the UFC.
Yeah, that's – jeez, man, you can get a title so fast in that light heavyweight division.
Yeah, crazy. I mean
– but it was like Dominic Reyes –
Volkan Ozdemir, Dominic Reyes, Glover Teixeira, Alex Pereira. So you look at Ozdemir, Reyes, Teixeira, all out of the UFC. So I see where they're coming from on the line with Rokic. But I mean, you look at Rokic, he doesn't have any great wins either. He lost a split decision to Volkan Ozdemir. He lost to Anthony Smith. He lost to Santos. He got knocked out by Blachowicz. Obviously got the injury, but... yeah, this line is about where it's tough because it's like literally a pick 'em. It's literally a pick 'em line. But I just have to go Jiří. The run he was on before that, Rokic coming off a layoff. Again, you don't know what happens with Jiří, how he comes up from that knockout. But I mean, I just got to go with the experience here and just the lanes we've seen from Jiří other than his knockout loss to Poatan.
Yeah, and it's not like he looked bad in that fight against Poatan. I think the leg kicks early just kind of shut him down, but he was still able to get on top, and I think he won one of the rounds definitely when he was just on top hitting that ground and pound for a while.
Yeah.
Jiří's style to me, though, is just so sloppy, I guess, on the feet. He's just kind of plodding forward, sticks his head out there a lot, and when you watch Rokic strike, it's really sharp. He's kind of the opposite of that. Really technical, really stiff, good jab. So stylistically, I like Rokic here, but I do agree with you where Jiří's had better wins in the promotion. He's looked better so far in his UFC career. And Rokic is coming off that knee surgery. 2 years without being in the octagon, a year of rehab probably. Not the greatest, you know, platform, I guess, to be stepping off into this octagon.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's definitely go Jiří.
Prelim main event. What a great way to get the night started, man. The fact that we don't have to pay for these first fights is insane. So can't wait. We have my bets up.
Boom.
Here we go. I'm gonna have another main card as well. I'll put all of them together when we come on Thursday. But this is what I have for the prelims. We're going Figgy and Garbrandt over 1.5 minus 190. We have a big bankroll. We saved up for 300 for a long time. So we're risking 100 and 152. We're going to go 100 on Bobby Green to win 58. Throw a little sprinkle on Andrade and Marina Rodriguez under 2.5 plus 135. Turner and Moyocano over 1.5, like you said, risking 50 to win 43. And then we're going to go Jiří, 50 to win 55. Our parlay, Bobby Green, Jalen Turner, Figgy and Garbrandt over, and Aljo.
All right. I like that. I can't say I like the Aljo one, but I get it. I do get it. Let's make some money this weekend.
You need to juice it up a little bit.
Dude, and then the
match. I know we're laying a lot of chalk. Throwing a minus 190, a minus 170 from the get-go. I was looking ahead a little bit. There's a lot of dogs I like on the main card, so be ready to bark.
All right. Woof, woof, woof.
Be ready to bark.
Oh, real quick. So here's the odds for most of the fights from 2 weeks ago. This is when we were talking about them a couple weeks ago on here. And after we look at this for a little, this is hard to do. I should have put them next to each other. But here's the ones from currently right now today. So it's moved closer to Jamal Hill. It was 120, or it was plus 120. Now it's plus 110. Lines move closer to max as well. Bo Nickel's gone up another 1,100. I believe the line has moved towards Saryukian. Yeah, so Saryukian was minus 210 a couple weeks ago, and now he's minus 225. That one kind of surprises me, just because usually when there's a fan favorite that's not like an obvious fade, people usually kind of put big money on him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. I've heard a lot of people more on Max than recent weeks.
Yeah, we'll get into that one. I'm a huge Max fan, bro, but I can't. I'm going to be picking Max, but I see more paths to victory for Gaethje. Can't lie.
Yeah, definitely.
If I didn't have one of my favorite fighters of all time fighting in that one, I might be going with the favorite.
Yes, sir.
Man, I'm so damn excited. Whoa, that got me all messed up right there. There we go. Back to normal.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. What a week. I need to get these allergies fixed so we can lock in for the fights.
Yup. Dude, and if any of y'all in the Santa Barbara area pull up to my crib, I'm gonna get like 3-4 TVs from work, put them up, get a betting board. You know, you're more than welcome to come down for the weekend too.
We'll be back. We'll see you on Thursday. We got a day's rest. We'll be back on Thursday. Y'all better lock in with the main card. Let's go, baby.
Yeah, we'll see y'all real soon. Deuces.